Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to another Bailcast. You're not supposed to look at me.
Sorry. I'm looking at the person who's talking. I'm going
to
do that.
I know, but he looks
this
at me.
This is awkward.
This is awkward.
Look at Bar while you're talking. And continue.
I'm all right, just going to look at the camera. This is Phil, popular on Wong Fu Productions channel creator.
Dinosaur on YouTube.
What do you talk about, dinosaur? You're an OG.
That's
OG
what
is
he
way
keeps
better
telling
than dinosaur.
So, yeah. We just came back from Toronto.
Yeah.
And in Toronto, he's like, oh, I'm so glad you're here because we got two old farts on here.
Yeah. Oh, like, I feel that.
Don't
I feel
bring
that.
Me into your group.
I feel, you know what? This is not even has to do anything with you. I'm so sorry. But yeah. So we're trying to like get some questions from our fan base for Hey Bitch. Plug. For just to hear what other people want us to talk about. Cause we just talk about anything and everything. And someone submitted, they were like, maybe you could talk about like what it feels like losing your youth, like being in your 30s.
Oh God.
I was like, oh, God. All right, Becky, yeah, like what's your problem?
30s is great.
It is.
30s is great.
Yeah.
Maybe you could talk about how it feels when your life's over.
Yeah. I'm like, damn. Bitch.
This person must have been like in their teens. Like, cause I remember as a teenager, I thought being in college was old.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Do you feel like Becky. I don't know. Do you feel like your youth or your YouTube youth is over?
You know what?
And you feel like a dinosaur?
I feel like a dinosaur in the sense like when I there's a lot of stuff on YouTube right now that I just can't relate to. And I don't mind that. Like, I think it's natural in a lot of different mediums.
Like who don't you like?
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Just kidding. There's definitely certain channels where I'm like, okay, it's just about like drama, like YouTube drama.
Oh,
I can't
stand
channels that are just about YouTube drama. Like it's like, to me, like YouTube has become one big high school that everyone on the internet can go to. And so, you know, you have the popular kids and the, oh, what happened at the party? Oh my God, so-and-so did what? And then like, oh, who's fighting, you know, behind the bleachers? Literally, they're boxing now. Like, you know, so they're creating their own ecosystem. They're creating their own like E! Entertainment or Bravo, which is already a dated reference, right? Like,
yeah.
So it's kind of crazy. So when I see that, I'm kind of glad that we came up during a time of YouTube where we didn't have to rely on those kind of antics.
Yeah.
And it felt a little bit more pure. Not to be like, oh, it was so much better in our day. But
back in my day.
Yeah, I know. Like, I understand that this is the new culture and like it's fine, but I'm just glad I don't have to participate in that to find success, and that now, you know, we have a certain level of success that we can go beyond that. Like, there was a period of time where like, you know, I'm sure you guys can relate, where it's like, oh, subscribers, views, whatever. These days, like, I'm like so not concerned with that as much anymore. Like, it's kind of like a rat race, and it's like it will never end, you know. Like, let's say, you know, in the like late 2000s, oh man, Wong Fu, we're killing it. Okay, and then early 2010s, oh, Wong Fu, we got to keep going. Like, it's a never-ending race. If you want to do, like, right now, if I wanted to be like, oh my God, I want to be the most popular YouTuber, yeah, I know exactly what we could be doing. But then I know that 5 years will pass and we're gonna have to do the same thing over again for a new class of
like watchers or something.
Exactly.
Damn,
right.
That's
so
deep, dude.
One thing that I find that kind of sucks is like, you know, in traditional media, like let's say there's the traditional outlets, right? Like Wall Street Journal, LA Times, New York Times, whatever. The crazy drama, like National Enquirer stuff, it's like they're peanuts compared to the big newspapers.
Yeah.
But in the YouTube realm, it's the opposite. Right. It's like if you do the drama, crazy TMZ stuff, that shoots you up to getting a million followers within a year. Yeah. And it's almost like the real content is what people don't really care about.
You know what's funny though? You're wrong.
I am.
Because what's really kicking ass is all the fucking kid channels.
No, but see, that's
screw those channels.
I see what you guys are doing, okay, with Taika.
No. Oh, that's funny. No, like the real, like, have you seen the ones where they take out like jelly?
Yeah, unboxing and making jelly.
Yeah,
and,
or they do like
slime. It's all slime.
Slime. Stuff. You don't even know who the person is. Right. It's just hands going.
And it's like
this.
22 million
views. You know
views,
why? Because it's parents. I mean, you tell me, you guys are in that world. You guys have parent friends. Like, they literally
parents, bro.
I know, but also you have, I'm saying you also have, but like, it's just on autoplay, you know, like, so like things just kind of keep going and going. But yeah, I feel like, you know, going back to what you're saying, Bart, like it's unfortunate that a lot of times, and what breaks the mainstream news of YouTubers is always the worst stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, this guy, I don't even want to say his name. This guy videotaped him like with a dead body. This guy is getting kicked out
of a mansion.
You know, this guy is, you know, yeah, these people are boxing.
All those people you're naming.
Yeah. So it's like, why?
Are their last name Paul?
These are the people that mainstream thinks YouTubers or YouTube creators are, digital creators in general. And so that brings all of us down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then when I see like other YouTubers, you know, YouTube channels like talking about it, giving it even more light, I'm like, why are we doing this to ourselves? Because they want to talk about it to get clout also and just be part of the conversation. I'm like, guys, we should be talking about, you know, entrepreneurs and businesses and you know, books and, you know, people that are crossing over, you know.
That's so boring.
I know. What are you talking about? Dude, you know Joe? Remember Mystery Guitar Man?
Yeah.
He's
making, what is he up to?
Okay, so he is making movies that are a can. He's shooting a movie literally right now with like, with Daniel Day Kim and Anna Kendrick. It's like,
wow.
Like why is YouTube not talking about that? But they want to talk about, oh yeah, the latest, you know, scandal or whatever. It's because really,
I feel like that video would be like 500 views.
So what did you think of James Charles and that whole? I'm just kidding.
I honestly like. So when I see stuff, like, I actually try to avoid it. Like I'll get like the bullet points, but I purposely avoid not watching the videos or any of the recap videos.
Yeah.
I don't need that kind of petty. It's petty too. It's petty
drama. Absolutely.
That's a dilemma that we face all the time on JK News.
Yeah.
Where like, so like something will break out, right? And it's something that, as in our personal preference, we don't like that much. We don't really agree with. So we're like, okay, let's not shine any light on this. Let's focus on the positive. But then the fans will ask for it. What's your take on it? And I think what they're looking for is, yeah, there's this stupid thing. Either we can come in and roast it or try to correct it or provide like a proper opinion on it. So it's kind of like we're stuck in the middle where like, do we address it, but then at least have a chance to give it a new perspective, or do we just completely ignore it out of our ecosystem?
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. And I think that, you know, you guys handle it, you know, in the way that you guys, you know, need to for your fan base and everything. And I think it's necessary. I think at a certain point, certain channels like built themselves out to do that. And you almost have like a duty to talk about these things, right?
Yeah.
So I can't imagine being in that position of like deciding, okay, what do we want to comment on and stuff? But
because they even go, why don't you guys talk about sports?
Yeah.
And then it's because there's only one or two guys that watch sports.
Right, right.
So when we do actually bring up sports, it's crickets around the room.
Right.
So
fans only know what they don't want.
Yeah.
Fans don't know what they do want.
That's,
you know,
true.
Like, that's so, just people, dude.
That's people, yeah.
I don't know what I want sometimes.
Yeah. Well, that's all girls, too.
Whoa. Do you go with that?
Girls don't know what they want.
This is where I just look straight.
Yeah, you're a smart man.
girls are very smart. Very smart.
You see, he's a very smart man. You know how long it took Bart to it?
Girls are so
Bart
smart.
Bart always felt like in a relationship, he has like a valid opinion.
Like, I don't
have an
opinion. What's the opinion?
Not.
I don't even know what
the
opinion is.
You know what else he would do? I don't know if you do this. Let me know if you're guilty or not.
Okay.
I would ask him about, okay, the age old question. Do I look fat?
Yeah,
so I wouldn't ask him in that way because that's just stupid. I'm just like begging for some bad
right?
Good on you for not,
but
for
you
not
still
staring
ask,
at me for
you
too.
You still
long.
Ask a stupid ass question in a different way though.
Right. Okay. That was where I was getting at.
Yeah, you reword it.
Okay. So right. I do.
Do you like these drapes?
Do these drapes make me look fat?
But then this fool used to tell me the honest truth.
Hey,
I'm trying to be honest.
That's horrible. Don't you ever.
Don't be honest.
You act like you didn't know what you're getting into. This guy literally put like all of that out there on all of his content. And you're going to act like, why are you acting like this in private?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm sorry. It's like wait, wow, Bart.
You know who I am. Yeah.
I feel like I don't have any friends up until you just now. No one ever told me that.
I gotta say, wait, I mean, because I've talked to friends who have, you know, gone through the pregnancy state, you know, stages. I'm not even talking about it correctly.
Are you calling me fat?
No. Like, don't you look at,
don't call it fat,
don't you look at your wife and woman completely differently after you've seen how they
should
handle,
I walk out of this room?
How they handle like pregnancy. Like, it's incredible. Like all of my,
what do you mean?
Yeah. Speak your mind, dude.
No, I was going to say like, I think like it would make me fall in love more with like my wife.
No, he called me fat. He literally called me fat.
Oh God. No, I did fall in love with one more. Like, yeah.
Or at the very least, just be in awe of the female body and what it's capable of.
I'm super in awe. I was there during labor.
Yeah.
and like what she had to go through, the amount of pain that she had to go through, and just even like the 9 months of like, there's certain ways they can't sleep, food they can't eat. It's fucking insane. That's why I always tell them, like, I wish I was pregnant for the next one. So at least we can share because it's a huge burden.
Right, okay. You did bring up a great point, right? Yes. You're mesmerized. You almost honor the woman, right? Because she can do some shit.
And
that
you're saying
can't.
That you don't want that?
No. Oh, okay. No. And I think that's beautiful.
Okay.
But that's in a very respectful way. What about like wanting to like bone the shit out of her? You probably don't see that anymore because you're like, I just saw a human come out of that. Like
that's beyond my experience. And I will let you, once I've gotten to that point,
we'll bring this back.
But I mean, that's something how is it? How is it different? You know, like that's
what's not different.
About you.
It's exactly the same to me, right?
Yeah, it's not about that. I'm like your sexual counselor right now. What did you bring me into?
We just want you to solve our relationship problems, dude.
That's exactly the same to me.
That's what the fans are for. That's what the comments are for. They do. Right? They know you guys so well. They know you every detail of you, right?
Yeah, they do. 100%. A little too much. Yeah. No, but I guess I was bringing that up to be like, are you that boyfriend that is like brutally honest, or do you just know when not to say stuff for the sake of like, you know what's
are you a liar
up?
A good liar boyfriend
a white liar
or a bad honest boyfriend?
that's funny.
That's how girls want to categorize
literally.
there's no way to win. No. You're just bad or bad.
No, you're good, but you gotta lie.
You're a good boyfriend that lies or a bad boyfriend that's honest.
I so here's the thing. I think I'm a very reasonable person. Ask my girlfriend, she might say otherwise. I think I'm very reasonable, so I think I would give a reason. Like if something wasn't flattering on her, I wouldn't just say it is. I would actually have a solution, and I would say this is why.
That's a guy thing though. We don't want solutions.
So that's definitely something that
you're in trouble.
No, I've learned girls.
He learned.
These are general things, like obvious blanket statements, but yeah. A lot of times, you know, women don't want you to reason with them.
No,
they never do. Right?
We
they
don't want
do.
You to solve our problems. Yeah,
you just
want
to listen. You just
if we're venting, you just listen. You don't. Like we're like, oh, you know, Becky did this.
And you know what? I won't draw that line. You know, like, I'll say I'm like that too. I don't think that's just a female male thing. Like there are definitely times where I'm venting to her, and she starts giving me her opinion on things. I'm like, why is your opinion even inching into seeing the other person's side of things? Why are you doing that? You know, like,
and yeah,
like,
why?
Yeah. So I get it. I'm definitely not saying, women are so like emotional. Like, maybe, but that's also because I'm a pretty emotional guy too.
Yeah.
So, but to answer your first question, I think I know when to pick battles, and a lot of times, you know, man. There's certain things, and even like after the fight has already, even after the fight has already like kicked, like been sparked, I will do like a, you know, a cost breakdown analysis in my head.
Wow.
Give me an example. Give me an example of a recent fight that you're able to kind of like mediate.
He's
a little
like
bit.
That meme that has all the fucking Pythagorean theorem and all like the different.
That's the thing. A lot of these arguments are so petty or small that they leave my short term memory. You know, so I try to keep a good perspective on like, okay, is this going to be something that I want to spend the next 2 hours being upset about, especially if we're in a setting where I want to be happy.
Yeah.
Right.
But the core feeling is there. Like the traps that she lays out for me.
Yeah.
Where she asks me a question, I'm trying to be honest. Like I could picture any couple.
Yeah.
I can picture a starving couple in Rwanda, in Africa, with a fucking fabric tent.
Yeah.
And this girl is so skinny. She hasn't ate in 2 weeks. Her ribs are popping out and there's flies around her eyes.
Oh,
and I could picture her asking her, man, does this make me look fat? Or does this make me look too skinny?
Yeah.
Her burlap sack. And the guy is still like, what's the right fucking answer to say? She's 70 pounds.
Well, I guess
and whatever he says, it's still good. She's like, you think I'm fat? I'm fucking 70 pounds. I'm about to die. Or he goes, no, you look perfectly skinny in that. Yeah. She goes, I am going to die. I am 70 pounds. No matter what, I can picture this exact same conversation across the world and every guy is fucked.
Gio, why do you ask even?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think what
do you want to hear? Especially if you already know yourself, it doesn't even matter what we think. You've already decided if you
Because like you have your answer.
Right, right,
yeah.
right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So I just need someone to back. So I've told them this a million times already. I'm like, I'm your goddess. I'm perfect. Right. Obviously, right. I know I'm not perfect. Okay. Like, I know my flaws. I know what I got to work on. I'm not oblivious to those. But aww. I need you to be like my strong backbone in right. my moment of
okay.
weakness.
Okay.
So if I'm doubting anything, whether that is something as minuscule as like what I'm wearing oh. or something as important as my next like career decision.
Yeah.
If I'm kind of doubting it, like listen for the context
yeah.
or listen to the emotion of what I'm trying to ask.
Right.
And I know that's hard. Absolutely.
Well,
that's hard.
Fucking hard. Yeah.
Well, then I have another question then. Like yeah. if you, are you open to like, for example, like if it's an earring thing, like which one or like, should I, which dress should I wear?
Yeah.
Like is there, do you, have you already decided the, which one you want to wear?
No, she decides after I say it. So if I say A, she goes with B immediately.
Oh man.
Because I think I probably already had like, I think it was like a 70-30 split yeah. already where I'm like 70 going on this.
Yeah.
And I might just need him to just kind of give me, wow, that's a lot of time.
Yeah.
To give me just kind of like a push in the right direction. And when he goes the opposite, I'm like, yeah. okay, he's tripping. I'm going to go with this.
Yeah. No, now that I think,
I waste his time.
I do think about when I am waiting for, you know, my girlfriend to get ready and she's like making these decisions or I'm wanting to rush her. Like I do usually just take the L and I'll just say like, I, whatever you like is probably bet like best. And
but that's not helpful to them. And then they get mad at you.
I mean, if it's like, they actually like, you can tell like if they actually just like need your opinion, like sometimes like I'll say so, but like, I used to get really riled up about like them taking too long. And then I realized, oh, they're trying to look good in indirectly or even directly sometimes for you too.
Yeah.
And then no matter what, I always enjoy the final product. So it's like, okay, I'll let you have this time.
You're so level headed. But what really happens when you get riled up? Let's talk about that.
Before we get there, I want to hold for our first sponsor.
Nice. Okay, so for our first sponsor, it's Third Love, my favorite bra company out there, created by a woman. What? By a woman? Created by women for women. I absolutely love it. I'm actually wearing it right now.
Ooh, that's their sexy. Signature.
Thank you. So ladies out there, don't be afraid to buy bras. Don't be wearing the wrong bras. I know I've worn the wrong size my entire bra wearing career. And thanks to Third Love, it only took 60 seconds for me to take an online quiz. All pictures, I got to see where my problem areas were. I got to see what type of boobs I have. And then they give you the recommendation. If the recommendation is wrong, you can return it and get the right one. There's zero risk to you guys. And right now, one second. For all our listeners, you guys are going to get 15% off your first bra. Just go to thirdlove.com/Beow, B-E-A-W. Get 15% off. Ladies, you guys are not going to regret it. I'm not kidding you guys. I probably had like 15 bras and I could only wear like one or two. So don't hesitate. Stop wearing the wrong bra. Stop letting it dig into your shoulders. Stop letting the fats roll out of the side.
Fat,
yeah. Dude. Stop letting all the gap in the boob space, like the cup, like all that. That's wrong. Or your boobs just spilling out. That's wrong. Like you don't see, like my boobs would spill out of my bra all the damn time.
And that was my favorite moment every time.
I hated it. Cause my bras looked, I mean, my shirts look so weird on me because my bras were just not fitting correctly. Here, everything's tucked in. I still got a nice little plumpy.
Oh yeah.
Booby. So yeah, so for 15% off, go to thirdlove.com/Beow, B-E-A-W. Again, you guys, 15% off. You have nothing to lose. You don't like it. You take it back. You send it back. And it's all done online. So don't hesitate. Do it right now. That's thirdlove.com/Beow. Beow.
So what was your question? You had a question, right?
Yeah, you sound so level-headed, but this sounds like after the fact, like after you've had your bickering battles between yeah. each other, and then you come to your conclusion of like, oh man, I shouldn't have rushed her.
Yeah.
Like that seems like an afterthought. Like how are you when you're riled up? So she's getting ready. You know that getting to the location takes 30 minutes.
Got it. Okay.
You're gonna rush yourself.
So this is where it would become an argument because, okay, I have this problem. I think all people kind of do, or especially at this stage in our relationship where I project. So yeah. I'll see a flaw here. And then I'll think, oh my God, what is this going to turn into 5 years from now?
Yeah. Or, whoa. Yeah. You think all that while you're in the moment?
Or I'll be like, oh, like your time management is bad. And then I project that to, oh my God, are you going to be, how's your time management going to be as a mother? You know, like stuff like that.
In the moment?
I think it's an Asian thing.
Wow.
I
don't know, yeah. Pull me into this world.
And I acknowledge that that's very unhealthy and unsafe. And she does it too. So like yeah. we both do it. Or like you know, if
you don't need to justify it, man.
Or she's like messy in a certain area, I'll be like, oh my gosh, is this how you're going to keep our, you know?
Yeah. Wow. I think it's a very Asian thing. So back in the day, like I didn't know how to express thoughts like that in a healthy way. Yeah. So I would go in on her and then shoot and making her feel bad. But it'd be something as simple as like, let's say we're supposed to go train. You miss one training session. I'm like, oh, so that's how you, that's how
you're
you,
not driven.
Yeah. You're not driven. Yeah, that's, how value, that's how you value, that's how you value your fitness. That's how, so I'm like, you lack commitment, lack discipline, lack dedication to everything. It, all it takes is that one time. But then we hold ourselves to the same standard. Like, you know, the, how committed I am to gymming or being on time or doing whatever. Right. So it's just like, as I think growing up Asian, you have like the way your parents explain things to you. Like you messing
Taiwanese
up
too, right?
Chinese, Taiwanese.
Oh, okay.
The way you mess up in first grade, they're already yelling at you as a senior. In calculus, this is what's happening because you fucked up. You see what you're doing here? One plus one.
I never actually associated with my parents, but it probably, I mean, everything is associated with your upbringing, right?
Right.
But yeah, definitely like, so using the example of like getting ready, let's say I told her, okay, we needed to leave by 7:30, and I already said 7:30 because I knew we actually had to leave by 8.
I do that, right?
Smart.
And then if I know that she had hours before to like get started earlier or like to time manage her day of like going to get her nails done or going to go shopping or whatever, I will get extra annoyed of like, why didn't, like, how did we get to this point again? Right. Especially when I know that she has been able to get ready in like 20 minutes too. Right?
You know what's the fun?
girls have like this secret system of like, of a checklist of like, oh, you know, when I'm going fast, this, I can do certain things at a certain speed.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I want to like look really good, I'm going to like take my time.
Yeah.
You know, you know what's crazy that I noticed? Girls are, so if they're a generally punctual person like Gio is, girls.
Not today.
Yeah. Girls are on time when they get ready by themselves. Oh, I don't know. Well, really? she is. When she needs to go somewhere by herself, in her own.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Like she'll generally get there on time. For some, like today, we're getting ready together, and somehow I don't know if it's my like unconditional love and warmth. It just makes it every time we have to go somewhere together, I'm always the first one waiting for like, hey, where, what's the time?
Well, also you have to just put some product in your hair.
Well, and he's also very selfish when he gets ready.
You know, do all this.
Yeah, tell him. They'll tell him. No, but guys, like at least, I don't know, I can't speak for guys, but I can only speak for Bart and what I see from him.
Yeah.
He's a very like, I get up, I do my own thing. I'm out the door. Yeah. I get up, I do stuff for all of us.
I'm not getting into this argument.
Like I make the bed, I clean up after myself. Like I hang, like I do everything. This is the current like fight that we're having right now. I complete a task from A to Z, right? So whether that's something like if I'm washing the dishes, I'm like going to wipe down all the countertop because it's going to be wet. For him, he just literally washes the dish.
Yeah.
The drain is full of food.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, bro, A to Z.
I see. No, you know what? It might not even be like men and women kind of thing. It's just personality types, right? So your whole thing about
I have a man personality. Type.
He's a dirty person.
Well, your thing about like, you know, I'm so committed to the gym and you miss one day and blah, 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 blah. Like, I think you're a very like macro person and you're able to see like you're always onto the next thing. You will do the minimum requirement for each. You're very efficient, I would say, like with your time. It's like, okay, because you want to maximize your day and all your
tasks. I think it depends on what hat I have on.
Oh, okay.
So like true. If I wake up and like, let's say the first thing is gym, then I have my athlete hat on, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
What do athletes do? Athletes do this, boom, boom, boom. So athletes aren't going to clean shit out of the drain, whatever. But if I'm like, today is cleaner Bart hat on, I'd put that on and I would clean everything A to Z. I might even scrub like little black spots off the wall. Yeah. So to me, I think because girls can multitask, so they could think about being an athlete, being this all at the same time.
Oh yeah, baby.
For me, it's like what I'm doing at the second.
I'm Bart, I'm man. Yeah, I have to one thing only.
Yeah, one thing at a time. One thing at a time. And then when I'm doing that one thing, nothing else in the world matters at that time. Yeah.
That's literally what.
Helen makes similar things, like observations about me too. Like when I want to do something, for example, like sometimes like I'm in the shower and I'm like scrubbing like super, super like detailed.
What are you scrubbing? Like
no, scrubbing like the tiles and everything.
Oh, when you're in the bath. Like I thought you were taking a shower, and then I pictured you in the shower.
So sometimes, sometimes like I'll like in the middle of a shower, I will like just like do like little cleaning. In the shower.
That's very nice.
Anyways, and then like but then like I have other parts of me that are like, I'm okay with that being dirty too. Like it really depends.
What's on dirty for you though?
I don't know. Like I'll leave like socks around.
That's dirty for you.
I never leave socks around.
I have like, ever. I have like not junk mail, but like I have like a pile of mail that I'm supposed to go through. You know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I never read mail.
I hate mail.
Yeah.
Why does mail still exist?
I know.
I don't even
mail.
Like email.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like mail or email.
But there's certain chores that I actually do enjoy. I actually like if I have a big enough sink, I actually do enjoy dishes. And if I have the time, I like.
Oh my god, you're a dream come true. No.
If I had the time, and then I enjoy Swiffering. I like. Getting dust.
Yeah.
That's it. That, I like doing that too.
Well, we've had this, we've talked about this a few times on our podcast, about if you could do, what did we call it? Like the job that like, that, what is it? Like an undesirable job?
Or a blue collar job? No, not an undesirable. So like we're all in social media, which is like this new kind of like newly invented job that didn't exist 10 years ago. Yeah.
A traditional job.
Yeah, if we have to go with a traditional job, what do you think yours would be if you had to pick one tomorrow?
Well, I'd probably be a boba shop owner.
Oh, come on.
So you're saying like, if Wong Fu never came into play and I had never felt empowered enough to chase something creative.
Yeah, and you don't have
the... And it's a minimum wage job.
A minimum wage.
And you don't have the following and like marketing to leverage the way you
did do I have a degree, like higher education?
I'll tell you what mine is so that you can see.
Got it.
And I do have a higher degree and I still would do this. And this would keep me happy for years.
Okay.
I think. I would want to be like a cashier, like at a grocery store. Yeah.
Have you done cashiering at like Sip and stuff before? Like you can do that every weekend if you want.
Yeah, well, I think without
Sip is iPad.
Oh,
she likes buttons.
I do.
Like,
I love
like a little kid. Ding dong, ding dong.
I love it.
You like that sound? Ka-ching, ka-ching.
I love it. Yeah, I just like the transaction. I like that you get to meet people like at a very. I'm like very introverted.
Yeah.
So I like that you meet these people like for just a couple minutes. Yeah, they're gone.
I see.
And but I just like the transaction of the buttons.
I actually when I'm at the cafe, I enjoy cashiering every so often. People come in and like they don't even know that the cafe's mine. They're like, what are you doing here? And I joke with them. I'm like, oh yeah, YouTube wasn't cutting it. Had to pick up a second job.
I'm like, Phil, you already told me that joke last week.
I'm like, well, you're terrible like with customer recognition. what would it be?
I think he wants to
do
detailing or something, right?
So car detailing.
Yeah,
so if someone
has
like a nice car, it's super dirty. Like, I like kind of like diving into my work.
Okay.
But then later being able to pull back and see it all come together.
So
for me, like if it was like either like antiques restorer or car detailer, something like that.
I was going to say like, so one of my dream jobs as a kid was to be a Lego designer, like the people that actually design. And then I found out that their headquarters is in Denmark and you need like engineering degrees and stuff. It's actually like
legit.
Super competitive to do that.
Wow.
So I think building, being like doing something with my hands. So I can imagine like maybe like a line cook, you know?
Oh, cool.
Or like a carpenter, like a contractor.
That's pretty
like
cool.
Like when we were doing the remodel for the cafe, I'm not trying to plug all this stuff, but like the cafe.
Go ahead, plug away.
It literally gave me so many new skills and perspectives in different industries. Like
you helped with the building.
I definitely, where I was allowed to, you know, like I don't know how to like, you know, put grout in and stuff, but like a lot
but
of
if
like
you have a Chinese contractor, you're allowed to do it. You're allowed to do anything.
We had permits for everything.
For
but like a lot of like the demo stuff and like a lot of the, fixtures and things like I enjoyed working with my hands. So it'd be something like that, I guess.
Awesome. Isn't that crazy? Like the pressures that we kind of put on ourselves. Yeah. And of course we have to make a living and you have like the status that comes with it. So you have to like always shoot for something that's like way up there when all you wanted to do is be a carpenter. And that's tight.
I could have just been happy. And honestly, that was kind of the motivation to open a cafe because I felt like, I mean, obviously like as an entrepreneur, business owner, whatever, like you do want to think of big picture scaling, but the catalyst was I want a business that's a little bit more simple than entertainment. Mm. And there's honestly something that I really enjoy, you know, with, and I'm sure maybe like you guys can relate to this. I think we talked about this too, where I love how it's just simple, like transactional, instant, like gratification.
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, today, all I have to do is sell more cups of tea. How do I do that?
Yeah.
$5, here's a cup of tea. That's it. Whereas with like Wong Fu or anything creative, you spend months writing a script, you take all these meetings, and you don't know where all this work is going or if it will ever go anywhere.
Yeah.
So I like
Yeah, everything's so faith-based.
Yeah, I really like how, yeah, like you know, commerce is just like this and that, yeah. Right? I actually like, I worked at a Target when I was in high school. That's my first job ever. And like, so I was like, that was my first experience as a cashier. And I was like, oh, like this is like really fun too. Like I see what you're saying. But yeah, like that these are all like kind of the seeds that made me even want to, I think like Wong Fu kind of like was very mentally and emotionally draining. And yeah. I was like, oh, I mean, now a cafe and brick and mortar is like draining in a completely different
fuck
way.
Yeah.
Yeah. But,
doing Wong Fu for like, how long? Over 10? Over 12?
So technically, 15? If 15, if you count our very first video in college.
So
as a freshman, yeah.
So that's a long time.
It's a long
time. Did you ever feel burnout or ever feel like, man, I want to quit or not do this anymore?
So, and this is, a lot of people might not like this, but like, I don't feel burnout, or maybe I just don't categorize what I'm feeling as burnout. And,
yeah.
And like, maybe this is just a personality type, but yeah. Like, I'm so restless. And like, so if I'm not doing something, like I want to be
doing something,
or I feel like someone else is doing something and getting ahead of me.
So oh, like, wow. That's very Asian. I think.
Is that Asian or is that just, you know, it's type A, I don't know, or like driven. Okay. Don't say Asian.
Okay,
we're just positive qualities. That's so racist of you. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm offended.
I'm a Kwan now. I can't be racist.
But no, like even like sometimes like on holidays, I'm like, dude, holidays are like a perfect time to get ahead of everyone else.
Whoa. You know, like,
and that's terrible, but,
it's not terrible. That's just who you are.
That's so Asian.
Well, I hate that right now. Yeah. If you don't know, like work-life balance, then you're wrong.
Right. So
and I'm like, oh, that sucks. That's just a personality, like yourself.
I do understand the value of work-life balance, and I do seek it out for myself. But I feel like if there's like a bank or a well, like I only need like 5 or 10%. Like I just need like one evening, like kickback or something, and I'm refilled. Wow. Some people need like, you know, full day or half day.
That's me too. Because yeah. We had this talk about like the weekends and how important it is to us.
Yeah.
And then so like if she had a really hard work week, she prefers maybe a day or even two.
She's also being the mother of a child.
No, this is before the child.
Oh, okay. Oh yeah. Well then no excuses. Yeah.
Well before like she needs like a day or two just like vegging out, yeah, just laying on the couch.
Yeah. Well, that's because of people. Oh. People drain me.
Oh, okay. Like for me, I just need like 4 hours.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then I'm pretty good. Yeah.
I actually like, I don't even have cable TV. Like I have like just Netflix and Hulu. And like, well, I'll cap myself off at like one episode of something. Like I don't feel any desire to like binge or anything. I feel very lazy if I do that. But with Wong Fu, yeah. So with Wong Fu, like I never felt like, oh, this is too much. It was more just like, like, when is what, like it was more like, where is all this work going? And how do I do it better to make sure I have more control of where it's going? Because art and entertainment, there's so much that's not under your control.
Yeah.
And that was one thing that I was more frustrated with. And still like to this day, like I think that's just what's perpetually going to be the situation in art and entertainment or anything creative. Like you're never going to be satisfied. There's always one more, a higher mountain in the distance that you want to like, achieve or accomplish. But I think like there was definitely times where I was like, okay, maybe this is not the best route anymore. So maybe we should go with something else. So it was never like, oh, this is too much. It was more just like, is this even the right thing? So I remember right when we graduated, this was even before there were ads on YouTube. I thought we had already, it's funny, like at that time I had thought Wong Fu had already passed and gone by. Like we had our college years, we graduated, and there was no industry for digital content, no industry for social media. Instagram wasn't even invented yet. And I thought, okay, you know what? I'm just going to do one more, you know, low budget feature film like we did at our student film, and I'm just going to call it.
Was that
like
the Yellow Fever?
No, so this was like a 2 years after Yellow Fever. Like we made a student feature film, you probably don't know it. It was called A Moment With You. We toured it around the country like the year after we graduated. We got back and it was like, okay, now what? You know, we were doing weddings, we were doing local commercials to like pay the bills. And so like, I was like, okay, maybe this was summer 2007. I was like, okay, maybe this Wong Fu thing is over. You know, like we had a fun college run, you know?
Yeah.
And so my attitude was, okay, I'm just going to do one more thing. And in doing that one more thing, like it just kind of, it opened more doors. It allowed us to continue exploring. And that kind of became like a mantra of some sort of like, okay, like just do one more thing.
Oh, wow.
You know? And it's
I feel like that's entertainment.
Kind of, yeah.
Like even no matter how much it sucks, you just do that one more audition, one more open mic, right. one more film. And then, like, I saw a commercial where, like, Alicia Silverstone now has her own series.
Oh, really?
Like, you just see these random yeah. things come back, and they're like, where the fuck have you yeah. been the last 20 years?
They've been
years?
Living their life, and just, yeah. I think, like, that's where passion has to come in and take over, like, logic. Yeah. I think, like, you know, a person who's more risk adverse or logic driven, they'll be like, okay, this logically makes no sense. Why am I doing this? But I think for people like us, you know, we are driven by wanting to make our own opportunities and the potential for what we can create. Like, that's what drives us, I guess.
That's yeah. beautiful. And on that note, we're going to take a quick little break.
All right, cool. And our second sponsor is by Skillshare. Skillshare is an online learning community with thousands of amazing classes covering dozens of creative and entrepreneurial skills. And I love this because I think the day and age where you try to devote 4 years of your life to a big academia university just to learn a skill or even theory that's not really practical, I think it's kind of over.
Applicable.
Yeah, it's applicable. It's kind of over because I think, like, nowadays, like, even for me as a boss who's hiring people, I don't really care so much about the legacy of the place you got your education from. I care more about, can you perform this specific task or these specific array of tasks at a very, very high level? And that's what I love about Skillshare is you can pick and choose all the skills that you want. So if you want to be the photographer that can also write amazing captions and copy so that you can be a blog expert, that's awesome. Pick and choose the things that you want to do.
They have like thousands and thousands of classes.
Yeah, thousands across all kinds, creative, entrepreneurial. For me, what I would want to do now is, so I'm way more in-depth hands-on in design now in Barber Brigade. And I feel kind of bad because I'm always like drawing these ugly pictures on napkins. But if I could even know a basic level of Illustrator or maybe Photoshop, then I can get my notes a little bit closer to my vision to help out my team. So I might even be starting taking some of these classes, but I think it's so awesome. And right now they have 2 months free for all Bailcast listeners. Just Ooh. Go to Skillshare.com/Bail, BEAW for 2 months free. Skillshare.com/Bail. Skillshare.com/Bail to get your 2 months for free. Go check that out. Link below and go pick and choose the exact classes that you want to do. All right. And now we're back. And another question I wanted to ask too was, so I think it's recently where you made it public about your girlfriend.
Oh, back to the girl talk, relationship talk. Yeah.
No, cause like,
yeah.
Cause I remember like, so I know you've always dated, of course, like off camera and you have your own personal life.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until recent where I see you like, posting about your girlfriend, like what made you, what was the catalyst for that? That you're like, you know what, we can be public about this.
Yeah. Arguments. No, I'm just kidding. Why aren't you putting me on, bro?
Yeah.
No, it's actually funny. Like I think back to like, you know, past girlfriends and it's like clockwork almost. Like all of them start off by saying, yeah, I don't care about social media.
Oh.
I don't need you to post about me. And then like, you know, several months in or a year in, they're like, then they start to get restless. Like, oh, yeah. What are you trying to hide?
All girls are the same. Yeah.
I was never like that. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Cause I put you on set day one.
True.
And then she started getting more followers than you. Like, oh, put me on, tag me.
Can you promote me?
Yeah. But I think with Helen, I think part of it was just time, you know, like a big reason why, it wasn't like I was never proud of them or I didn't want to put them, you know, out there. It was more just like, this sounds bad to you. Like I was afraid if things happened, then there'd be like
you know, yeah, for sure.
And I know some YouTubers thrive on that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's just not
me. They get in fake relationships just so they can do the cleanup.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
For views, yeah.
Right. Oh, we're breaking up, you know? And
yes.
And I'm not saying that some of them aren't real or whatever, but I'm just saying like,
I'm saying that.
you know, I just wasn't, that wasn't like, you know, what I wanted to do.
Well, that, and then just because they don't understand, because we've been in it since like the beginning and they don't know the burden that also comes with it.
Yeah. So that's actually in the beginning when we first started talking about like, oh yeah, why haven't you posted about me? And then she's like, is it because you want to maintain like a bachelor like image? And,
hell yeah.
And I was like, yeah, so many DMs. I don't get any DMs. But like I told her, I don't think you actually know what you're asking for.
Right.
I think you just want me to be like, you know, public display of affection.
Yeah.
But once, like, you're my last line of defense of like some kind of privacy.
Right.
Mm. Right. And so once we open that up, now we're going to have to like make second accounts and stuff, you know, like now yeah. we're going to have to like be mindful. Like now I actually do tell her, hey, don't post that on story. I don't want that of me. And she gets frustrated with that.
What do you tell her not to post on story?
No, like sometimes if
that
I'm like,
so familiar.
What do you tell her? You guys are everything. Yeah, no, know. But there's some, there's definitely,
I think he's talking about what happened in the vlog.
Yeah, but keep going.
But you know what I mean? Like it's, and so like, I'm like, well, this is what you wanted. But I will say that overall, the net positive is I am really glad that people can see that, you know, we are happy and that I have found someone. And but I also am very much, I'm like, I feel like I'm like you guys, like I'm a realist. I don't like projecting things on social media that are false or yeah. that aren't authentic. So, you know, even with some of our posts, sometimes like I'll say like, yeah, like we fight, you know, like, or like this wasn't easy, you know, and of course people want to put their best picture forward. Right. So I try to be mindful of that, but overall, like I think, yeah, it's just like a protection, and now it's fun. Now I like that, you know, people know I'm human and that I'm not like this weird reclusive, you know.
Yeah.
It does,
workaholic.
It does give me some like humanness, and she does point that out a lot. She's like, look, all the photos with me and him like do so much better than you by yourself. Sad, you know. Like I'm like, all right, fine. But it was a challenge in the beginning.
She has a pretty decent following. Did you help build that, or did she have her own social media before you guys?
Yeah, no. So she was very, very private, like private account, all this stuff in the beginning when I first met her. And like, I like how this is becoming about her. Like this is her plug. But no, she. I think her story is interesting because she's from Boston, came from a blue collar family, you know, went straight to like a yappy lifestyle, like working, you know, in finance.
I know what yappy is.
Yeah,
now,
you know
what
yappy.
You.
Young Asian professional. Yes. But basically like an Asian person that goes down the very traditional, stereotypical career paths.
Yeah.
And she always told me, like, you know, when we finally got together, you know, that she always felt like she could do more and creatively, and she was this personality, but because of her surroundings in Boston and like, you know, her upbringing, no one ever encouraged that, and she never saw an example of that being a viable option. And it wasn't until moving to LA and being around so many creatives, and obviously, you know being with me too, that I was the one that was telling her, like, dude, I see what you're talking about, and you do have so much potential, so like, let me help bring it out of you. And actually she was very adverse to it at first. Like even though she wanted me to post about her, it wasn't like she wanted me to make her an influencer.
Right.
She just wanted me to just be, you know, be supportive. Proud of her. Yeah, yeah. Be supportive. But like in terms of me saying, hey, like you can actually utilize, you know, your perspective, your experience, your personality, your voice, and it actually will help people. That was something that I definitely took a couple years to like bring out of her.
Yeah.
And now she's just starting to believe in herself a little bit more.
Yeah.
She started a podcast with two other friends called Asian Boss Girl, ABG.
That's clever.
It's,
I like
a,
that.
It's a play on words.
Asian Baby Girl, right?
Asian Baby Girl. Yeah. Turning into Asian Boss Girl.
That's cool.
And that's like really taking off, and that's me like kind of showing them like, look, like this was always in you. And I hope that inspires like other people too that are afraid or nervous about trying things. Like, we were just actually talking about it last night, and she's like, a lot of people probably are like me, but they don't have a you. Like,
yeah.
They don't have someone that already believes that it's possible, already has some level of access and skill set creatively. And so she acknowledges that, like, I did help out a lot.
Are you going to get 10%?
I get 100% by you know, affiliation.
Yeah.
I just want to go to the parties and stuff.
Yeah.
No, but
I never got that speech from her.
Yeah, dude. Hey, bitch. Right?
No,
yeah.
I'm pretty awesome by myself. I tell them like, you're lucky you're still around.
But I hope like that's what
you we know, all
what,
get different speeches.
I hope that's what, you know, what you guys do, what Wong Fu, what all of these influencers kind of do is like, we can have like a more direct effect of like saying, hey, you know, like even if you don't have a friend or a direct person in your life that shows you that you, like directly that you can do it, you can see it in other people.
Yeah.
And that is a little bit harder because you don't have someone holding your hand and like constantly pushing you. But, you know, this is, you guys are proof that, you know, you can, I mean, you were working at a bank.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm the exact opposite.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Are, no, no, we're not talking about you. We're talking about, yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah, let's talk about me.
No, when people are like, oh, I want to open a gym. Like, can you help me?
And I'm always
like,
don't do it.
Yeah, don't do it, dude. It's fucking hard. Right. Or they go, oh, I want to get into entertainment. What do you think I should do? I'm like, just don't do it. Trust me.
Like, it's, wow, you're so jaded.
It's really, really hard.
I totally see what you're saying. Like, these days, actually, like, when I meet fans that are like, I'm in film school because of you, I go, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. Like, I hope you know what you're getting into. Like, because it's true. It's a grind. And it's not the easy life. But at the same time, I have lots of friends who are, you know, deep into their careers, and they look at what I'm doing as like, oh, it's so cool. And they might think that their job is like, you know, very like, oh, they became more complacent or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's a grass is greener.
Yeah, it is. You know,
kind of situation,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so I was in the military before.
Yeah.
And then recently, like I'm over this thought, but like last year I was talking a lot with Gio about how like, oh, I kind of want to go back in the reserves and like serve at least once a month. And I think now just talking with you, my realization is because entertainment is such a wild, wild west where there's no control over what anything is happening. Like you can be an overnight viral success.
Yeah.
Or nothing could happen for 10 years. Right. And there's no one in control of that. Right. And you can just keep doing you. Versus in the military, everything is extremely merit-based, right?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
if you
yeah.
have this physical fitness, you're going to get this.
Yeah.
If,
this many years, you will be promoted.
You jump on a grenade, you're going to get the Medal of Honor, regardless if you're black, Middle Eastern, white, Asian. Like everything is merit-based. There is no color. Mm. It's like the most racist and non-racist place in the world.
Right.
But because of that, and you know that, like I knew exactly what to do to get to the next rung on the ladder.
Yeah.
And I think that type of control was what I was kind of like missing a little bit.
Right.
And I think when people are asking me questions like, how do I get into gym or entertainment? I can already tell they're looking for that next rung. And I'm telling them, it's not there.
Right.
There's a lot of trap rungs where you're like, aha, oh no. And they're just grabbing on wrong ones. And it's a fucking Looney Tunes ladder.
Right.
And so I think I just tell people, don't do it. This is a fucking tricky ladder, dude.
If you're the personality type that needs a step-by-step plan,
then
you can't do this stuff. Like this is,
or you can, but you just can't be in the creative space where you're building it by yourself. I mean, you could probably go into it. Like they could probably work for Wong Fu because it's already kind of set out.
But even for us, like we're still figuring things out on a day to day.
It's really hard. Yeah. I think if you need, let's say if you join an agency.
What do you think Wong Fu is right now?
I think it's so structured.
Your guys' office. Yes, you guys have three offices. Okay, so one of us
we're
here
so
is doing
poor.
It. Right.
I think we're doing
Are
it wrong.
Are you kidding me, guys?
No, stop. Like an agency, which is like the more management business side of entertainment, you can be that agent and you kind of know how to work your way up to like, I don't know, from like mailroom to assistant agent to agent. But then all it takes is signing that next Kevin Hart and boom, you shoot it's up, right? So even in that world, it's still wild west too.
That's why I think like a lot of, you know, Asian Americans specifically like choose to go down the academic route because that is purely merit-based. You spend 4 years in this college, study this thing, you will get this degree.
Yeah.
This degree will let you automatically be acceptable to go for these jobs, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, after that, then it becomes like a little bit more of like uncertain because you have to like climb the corporate ladder or whatever.
Right.
But like if you want to be a doctor, just pass this test, pass your boards, show up to your rotations, and you will be a doctor.
It's going back kind of to like that Asian thinking where like you see Helen do something and you're like, oh, is that the kind of mother you're going to be? I think with the Asian mind or whatever, it's like you look at it and you're like, okay, if I do this, I could already picture my life as a 60-year-old.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, cool. I'm cool with that.
Right.
Versus in entertainment, like I honestly don't know where I'm going to be in 5 years or another 5 years or another 5 years.
But I do tell people though that like, you know, like using, you know, med school as an example, like, okay, cool. It's going to take you 10 years to get through this.
Yeah.
Med school included all the way to being like a certified doctor. So the difference is you know that if you do all the things you need to do, 10 years, put in the work, you will be a doctor. Same thing. I think in entertainment, if you work just as hard in entertainment for 10 years, you will see some level of success.
Yeah.
It's just that it's not guaranteed. But
and the difference is the structure's not there.
The structure's not there. But yeah. I would say success in general is just time-based.
Right.
You know, like, yes, there are certain things where a big break can give you an unfair advantage
or
whatever.
That's like 0.1%.
Right.
But do you know how many content creators out there that have way more subscribers and views and they go, I look up to you, Bart. And I'm like, how did you surpass me then?
Well, I guess
because they played with slime.
Damn it.
Where's JK Slime?
I'm like, you've been on YouTube for 3 years and you have 10 million subscribers. What the fuck?
I know who exactly you're talking about right now. Yeah.
Well, I guess for you, Phil, like, kind of talking about this and how you started, you know, YouTube and how it was all uncertain and there's, you know, just everything that you did there, and then having the balls, because honestly, it takes balls to go, okay, I've established a some sort of traction and footing in this space. Now I'm going to move to a completely opposite realm, which is now it's like brick and mortar. Like, how did you do that? Like, what?
Well, luckily, so I think, I mean, I definitely didn't do it by myself. I have a great business partner named Eric, who's also a Wang. No coincidence there. Just a lot of Wangs in the world. We've known each other for a while. You guys know him. And he's like one of those friends that's like an enabler. Like, he just always knows things and knows facts and knows people or whatever. And so he was at a place in his career where he
wanted a natural producer.
Right. And like, he was at a place where he wanted to like shift from his career to something that was like, like building something from the ground up. And so he's always had an interest in hospitality and food, just like me. And we had similar ideas and similar work ethics too. So we kind of just made this commitment to each other, like, let's make this happen. And we just kind of figured it out as we went along. We had like some mentors, you know, like I reached out to, you know, you guys or Bart, you know,
I don't remember receiving a phone call.
You're busy, you know, baking.
He was scared of asking the wrong thing.
So, well, this boba made me look fat. The boba guys actually were huge mentors too. You know, like they gave us a lot of good advice. So, but yeah, I mean, first time operators, you know, we were just figuring it out as we went along, but we trusted our instincts. We trusted that we knew at the very base what it takes to run a good business, you know, what people want. Marketing obviously was on our side, you know, so we just had to show up with a good product, right? So
that's hard, though.
Yeah,
that's
really
hard.
But that's,
you make it sound so easy.
But we were really excited about our products. You know, we worked on them for over a year, like in test kitchens and stuff. And I was actually like super afraid the whole 2 years we were developing.
And what are your products?
So like, I mean, like, so we have like, you know, obviously we have drinks that, you know, we don't use any powders, we don't use any flavored syrups.
These are teas or just all drinks?
All of our drinks. Yeah, teas. So teas and our like our milk based drinks. Okay. So we use real milk and everything. But then our food, we have these hybrid, I call it like ABC food, American born Chinese food, where you have like mapo tofu on top of tater tots.
They're so actually
like,
really good.
Yeah. Ooh. We have a Taiwanese fried chicken sandwich.
It has runny egg on it with like cheese and like the...
It's like chili cheese fries, but like, you know, Chinese style.
It's bomb.
So the whole time I was like, oh my God, in this Instagram age, someone's going to do this in the next 2 years or whatever. And thankfully, like, you know, nothing
so you got to make it over the holidays so you can get it.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I was working on it over the, and we were working on it over the holidays. So anyways, yeah, like, so we were really, you know, excited about the products. And at the very least, I just was like, okay, at the very least, we can have a solid cafe that it really is like one of those things where you see other people do it. And I'm not talking about like you guys, like you see like some of these like really old school cafes and like the bathroom's nasty, like, you know, the product's not that great. And I still go to those places because I have no choice. I love getting work done at like, you know, boba shops and stuff. So I was like, at the very least, I can do this. And that mentality is actually something that has driven me through like a lot of my life or business. Like, there was a lot of things where I saw someone else do it and I was like, I could do that. You know, like, so even people don't know this, but like Wong Fu at the very beginning, when it was, when I was in college, we started with like lip sync videos, like really, really like 480p, you know, shot on digital camcorder lip sync videos. But that was because I saw these other guys at UCLA doing the same thing. And I watched it. I'm like, I could do that. And so we did it. And then I was right. And so like that kind of kept going. And now even whether it's like the cafe and seeing like, you know, really poorly run cafes, I could do that. Now, even like in, you know, Wong Fu is like, it's this, you know, thriving YouTube channel. Now I'm thinking about, on like a more traditional sense, like, you know, the Hollywood system or, you know, TV shows and movies. I see movies that are made and I look at the people that are making them. I'm like, I could do that. Like, why am I not doing that? You know, so that's kind of what's driving me.
Oh, that's tight.
You know, yeah. So whether that's, and that's the other thing. I feel like I'm a very reasonable person. So there are definitely times when I look at something and I'm like, I can't do that. You know? And I know to stay in my lane.
What,
you know?
What is something you looked at? You can't do that.
Like, for example, like if we're talking about movies, I watch like Inception and I'm like,
oh yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I can't do that. Like, you know,
my favorite,
maybe not at this point in my life.
It took 10 years though.
Right.
My favorite Christopher Nolan movie is Prestige.
Oh yeah. So good.
And then I've watched it like a billion times. Yeah. And I'm like, what the stuff. Because this storytelling is actually through two journals, right? Yeah. Through Christian Bale's journal and then Hugh Jackman's journal. And that's the narrative that goes back and forth.
Right.
And then you're like, oh, okay, cool. I kind of get it. And that's kind of like the transition from scene to scene, from world to world.
Yeah.
Then at the end, when there's a scene where Hugh Jackman is reading the Christian Bale thing. And he goes, aha. So his secret is here because Scarlett Johansson gave it to him. Uh-huh. And then pretty much at the end, he goes, you silly motherfucker. You didn't think that I wrote this specifically really for silly, you, knowing that you're going to read it.
Yeah.
My secret isn't in here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Christopher Nolan, you're killing me. My brain just fucking exploded. I'm like, okay, I'm never going to be able to make a movie like this. So I'm going to aim way lower.
Well, so there are certain movies where I watch, I'm like, I'm just going to enjoy this, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
What about Crazy Rich Asians?
So Crazy Rich, like, that's a good example. Like,
I can do this.
No, I really enjoyed the film. I think it was a great step for a community.
Oh, I like it. I'm reading between the lines here. He didn't like it very much.
No, wait, no, I did. It was a really, really good movie. Like, I think it had to shoulder so many expectations.
Yeah. Mm.
Unfair expectations that only we had to deal with because it was like the first film in 25 years. Sorry, major motions like picture studio film.
Do you think movies, you know, when they're presented, they need to be evaluated with the expectations that it needs to shoulder?
I don't think it's not a should or shouldn't. It just is because like it's going to be a public work, and no matter whether it should or shouldn't, people are going to find what they want to find out of it.
Yeah,
and
true.
And
art shared.
And media true, yeah. and media definitely does affect culture. So I totally understand why a lot of Asian Americans look to this film of as like being the messiah, and like if this doesn't, you know, solve all of Asia Americans' problems and represent every Asian, then I hate it, right?
Yeah.
But the point of it is, and we're seeing in the year since, the point of it is was just to be something that opens the door.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it killed it. It got an A+. Like if it bombed, we would have been in the same boat that we were the last, like, you know, 25 years, right?
Yeah.
So since then, there's been so many great movies that have come out. We have like Farewell that's coming out like just this month. We had
Always Be My
Maybe, Awkwafina. Yeah, Always Be My Maybe. You know, we had like Searching and all these other films, and that was the whole point of it. And so I do think that it was successful in that sense. Whether or not, like, when I look at it, like, I could do that, I'm like, if I had the same resources and the same experience that, you know, John, the director, had, I think I would be able to step into those shoes. But I have not had that experience yet.
Yeah,
so
you don't have to be humble. You could do that. That's tight.
So yeah, maybe
I'll
like
say it for you.
The Asian in me is like, no. John had the experience and he did a great job. There are definitely movies out there where I'm like, okay, yeah, I could do that. But the problem is, and this is where. No, the catch is I didn't. That's the thing.
It's like those people that look at
modern art.
Yes, and that line, they're like, I could have done that shit.
So there's a great saying where it's like, it's like modern art is the equation of like, I could have done that plus you didn't.
Right.
Equals modern art, right? So I can't hate on it. Like I can only be someone that consumes it, appreciates, supports it, and then uses that as motivation to be like, okay, well, I need to prove that I can do it too, right?
Yeah.
So, and luckily, because these movies are doing so well and the directors and filmmakers are doing them so well, it's continuing the movement to allow even me to have a place. So I'm very appreciative of just being even part of the conversation or equation of in some way, shape, or form.
I think it's the opposite. I think we created a place for Crazy Rich Asians to have a platform and have
you
an
know
audience.
What? John would agree to that. He didn't say
Just Kidding Films. That's what I want to hear him say.
You always say, thank you, Just Kidding Films, for making Crazy Rich. I totally agree with
Uncle
that.
Uncle Sam, Uncle Chin helped me.
There were characters in Crazy Rich that were Uncle Sam. Yeah. No, like, it's
so
true.
Stupid.
I think, you know, and not to like pat ourselves on the back, but like,
why
fuck,
not?
But fuck, like, let's pat ourselves
please,
on the back.
Please, yeah. Why?
We,
you're so humble.
We kind of fostered an audience to be accustomed to even seeing faces.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then also desire that too. So I feel like we created a hunger for a large portion of the audience that was the base at least. And so once they were given a product of that caliber, they were on top of it, right?
I have something to add to that.
Unfortunately, we weren't the ones that got the opportunity to be first in line to make that.
Yeah.
But it's okay.
I also wish that right after the movie that all of our phones started going off and they're like, hey,
you have a deal.
You want to make a movie? But no, it doesn't happen like that.
And just a quick break for our final sponsor. This is pretty late.
I thought we only have two sponsors.
I thought we had three.
No, there's only two.
Oh, fuck
my
life.
Let's try it as if we're still going.
Well, it'll be Barbell Brigade. Okay. Or it could be you guys.
Okay. Yeah, no worries.
Okay.
But yeah, going off, can I just jump right back in? Yeah, the phones didn't ring though, right?
Yeah, no.
And I kind of felt the same thing too for a little bit. And then I realized why. And the reason is because that's a completely different system. The Hollywood system has been running with the same group and the same people for decades, generations.
Yeah, generations.
And
there's
some Asians that are sprinkled in there. And so they got the first call. They got to do it. And so when the rest of that system is like, oh, we need Asians, they're going to look in their own system.
Yeah.
Because that's the easiest.
Yeah.
For them to...
And it's a solid call because you know that those people are actually doing something. Right. So it's less risk.
And they also know how to work in your system.
Exactly.
To them, we are... like
a gamble.
Rogue. Yeah, we're a gamble, we're rogues, whatever. So we have to prove it on our, like in our world,
right,
that we belong. And that's what, you know, that's why like independent filmmakers, like that's why like what Justin Chan did is like so inspiring to me too.
Yeah.
You know, like I look at what Justin's doing and I'm like, man, like that's what motivates me a lot too. You know, so we have to kind of play into their rules a little bit, but also hopefully retain the edge that we have.
Well, yeah, you have to understand the rules in order to break the rules, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great point, and yeah, I would attest a lot of the Asian faces and stuff that are happening now to a lot of YouTube. Because growing up, for me at least, like I grew up in the hood. I grew up with a lot of Latinos, but because my mom was keen to go and like wait, like I can already see the route that my daughter's going to go if I put her in this school district with these types of people. She's going to make these types of friends or whatever. Let me put her in a school that is not in our district close to where, because she was a teacher. So I went into Montebello instead of going into like the Monterey Park Montebello 66 area, instead of being in the 213-323 area code, which is East LA.
And you got brainwashed with the Asian fever.
Well, and I connected a lot with Asians because I grew up very traditionally, and there's a lot of strong tradition in Asians. So for me it wasn't anything crazy, and I was just like, cool, this is who I know. But then I didn't realize that I wasn't seeing the Asians that I knew and that I grew up with on television. I didn't get it. Because I was seeing my people's faces on there. I mean, it wasn't a lot, but, I still saw it.
Right. You had Selena. Huh? You had Selena.
Yeah. No, we had a lot. I had Salma Hayek. Like, I had a lot of people to look up to.
George Lopez,
right. So I had a lot of people to look up to. And then when I started seeing what was happening with YouTube, I'm like, oh shit, this is actually pretty cool. And I didn't even know that there were Asian gangsters until I met Barton Cho. I honestly did
They're
not
your first impression of Asian gangsters.
Yeah. Like I mean, just the stories that they would tell. And then I met their, because before we got together, I met the circle of friends that I had.
Right.
And I was like, holy shit, like this is like an underworld for Asians. And I thought Asians were just so clean cut and like followed the rules and did all that stuff. I'm like, but they're ghetto. And that was so cool for me. So the fact that like I got to see that, I got exposed to that through YouTube. Like I would really say that that's what really did open up a lot of people's eyes.
And I think what's exciting to me is that there's still a lot to uncover too.
Absolutely.
And that's something that, you know, we feel at Wong Fu, or I definitely feel on my shoulders. Like a lot of people, for some reason, Wong Fu has gotten to some level of status where people are scrutinizing us in terms of our representation too. They're like,
you're not breaking the mold,
or like you guys are only representing a certain type of Asian. And there's a part of me that I'm like, well, that's just us.
Right.
And we can't represent everyone. But at the same time, I'm trying to be reasonable here. And I'm like, okay, I see that you probably think we're this massive company that has a lot of money to make lots of stuff, and we're keeping out certain types or groups of Asia, America, or Western Asians. And that's just not true. Like I wish we had all the resources in the world to tell, you know, to make an entire LGBTQ+ story, or to talk about the Hmongs in like Michigan, or to talk about Cambodians, coming over as refugees. Like there's so many other parts of Asian American, Asian culture, whatever, that has yet to be uncovered. And we have only scratched the surface. You like JK, us, whoever else out there that's doing it, like we're only one type. And obviously like, yeah, we do need to represent ourselves, but there's just so much more too. And that's what encourages me like about the future of representation for us, that it's not, I hope it's not just a wave. I hope that we get to get past the point of where each movie represents the entire race.
I don't know if that can happen though.
I think it must happen.
Because it doesn't even happen in white culture though.
What are you talking about? There's like there's so many, like every movie basically, like when you watch a movie with like white people and you're like, oh, this movie represents all white people. You just watch, if you see Seth Rogen, you're like, oh, that's just Seth Rogen. You're not like, oh, Seth Rogen, the white guy representing all white people.
Right.
That's what I mean.
But like Goodfellas, Italians, maybe a couple Italian Jews, Italian Irish.
Yeah.
But you don't go, well, where's the Scandinavians
yes.
at?
Yeah.
It's just that very slice of life of that story.
Right. Yeah. Oh, okay. I misunderstood you.
Yeah, sorry. No. So I think like, it's just when you get to a point where we get to just be sad or we get to just be funny, you know, like that's, and we're getting there like faster than I think, you know, we other communities have had to like endure, but like, it definitely is, you know, a destination that we should have in mind where it's not like everything is about like us being Asian.
Right.
I think like, it's funny to me, like how, you know, if you're a white person in a movie, like you don't have to talk about your whiteness.
Right.
Right.
That'd be funny though.
Yeah, that would. But it'd like be funny, white, but also possibly like offensive.
Like
but,
a white privilege movie.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Actually, you know,
that'd be pretty.
It's
hilarious.
Like Reverse Get Out. A white person should make Reverse Get Out.
That'd be tight.
Someone realizing, oh my god, I have so much privilege. But like, yeah, like I think with like
Joe's girlfriend knows that.
That's if very, we get pulled
very
over.
Woke of her. If yeah. we get pulled over, yeah. she always volunteers to talk to the police.
Oh,
officer.
That's awesome.
She's
dude.
Like, I'll probably get us out of this.
Oh my god, that's. Hilarious.
I'm like, that is. Awesome to know that you have that power,
yeah. and that's also and utilize it. Sad.
Yeah, it's sad, but like if you can't help it, at least utilize it.
Yeah.
That's when you talk about like allies. We're getting into like super like PC whatever like talk, but like if you talk about allies, like the best thing you can do is utilize
a white person.
No, if you yourself, understands. Yeah, like and that goes to like everyone has a certain level of privilege in some silo, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Asian people have a privilege in certain areas, you know, Latino, Black, there's certain levels of privilege in different places, right? Mm-hmm. For example, like Jeremy Lin is like, gets laughed at, you know, in the NBA.
Yeah.
So he definitely is lacking in a certain privilege where his counterparts might, you know, excel,
yeah.
right? So
yeah.
it all depends. And anyways, that's going down like a very much more nuanced conversation. But anyways, going back to like the films and representation for Asians, like, yeah, I'm excited to see like where we go from here. It's only been a year from Crazy Rich, you know, and obviously I think YouTube and digital influencers and platforms still play a major, major role because movies come very slowly.
Yeah.
Right? And so we can't be waiting on Hollywood to just green light and continue to give us that next chance. The great thing about social media, YouTube, whatever, like, is that we can create those opportunities for ourselves.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's why Awkwafina kind of shot up, at least from my own perspective. I felt like she kind of came out of nowhere. And it's really dope for me because what that communicates to me is, wow, like, people are recognizing that there's her type out there, and her type is someone that's very loud. She kind of has like this like urban feel to her.
Yeah.
And it's something completely left field to what I've been seeing the Asian women that are in media.
Yeah.
That are being like put in the spotlight. So the fact that she's shooting out so quickly and rising to the top as fast as she is, I'm just like, oh shit, like y'all, like this is tight for you guys.
And what's cool is like,
because it's so rare.
Yeah. And what's cool is like, she's portraying something like thousands of Asian girls that I know.
Yeah.
So she didn't make up a person, you know, like she's just being herself and then people are identifying with her. Like almost every.
Well, and Hollywood's allowing her to be herself, which I think is sick.
And that's new. And that took a change in culture and society for sure. Like people talk about like, you know, that being too PC is like hurting people. I'm like, you know what? Like at the end of the day, like it is progress and it does help. Like even like, you know, like the whole like Black Ariel thing that recently
happened.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And like people were like saying like, even I even had Asian people that were like, man, like, you know, to be honest, even if it was an Asian, I wouldn't have liked that. And there's a part of me that I'm like, what are you talking? Like,
yeah.
I see what you're saying, but like you realize that this will only help you in the future.
I get the argument.
Right? I get the argument, but
it's nostalgic for them. Oh, this is their childhood. But it's like when you really take a step back and you look at your childhood, it's like, why do you have to look up?
Yeah. Why did we expect that? Right.
Yeah. Like, why do you have to look up to a lot of people that don't look like you? Like, it's unfortunate that it happened, but yes, that is your childhood, but let's change that.
So for,
like,
you would be down with a Mickey Mouse with two dicks?
That's different.
Well, that's vulgar though.
Oh, okay.
Well, first of all,
and Mickey Mouse
even have a dick?
Like, well, Mickey Mouse is a mouse. I don't identify
with
the mouse.
He has a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Well, maybe. No, he's a mouse. You're putting that gender on him.
I've seen mice dicks before.
Me too.
What kind of pets do you have at your house? I have a question for you, Bar, real quick.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're like.
No, you're fine. Don't worry about it. We'll let you know.
one thing that kind of clicked for me only recently and was acknowledging and leaning into like my own voice. Mm-hmm. And I know, okay, let me think of how to say that. For example, like, even though a lot of people were following Wong Fu for a long time, mm-hmm. I still believe that, oh, I'm not that special. Or like, you know, like, I'm just like, you know, we just got lucky or whatever. But only recently have I kind of been allowing myself to think, oh, I guess like what I have to say is unique or is important or is, yeah, just special.
It's beautiful, man.
And I don't know if it's because, like, as you know, as Asian kids, we're from a young age, you're just taught you're not special.
Yeah,
you're like, don't stand out.
Yeah,
you know? Absolutely. I felt that, right? Too.
Like,
as a minority, because our parents migrated to this country, mm. and you want to assimilate, you don't want to stick
that's
out.
True. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I get it, and it's beautiful that you finally came to that, and you're like, that's tight. Like, complete your thought.
So I'm just saying, like, it took me actually like a long time, only just like a couple years.
You're almost like 40,
ago.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. But like, that's even why Yappy, like our show last year, even happened, because like it was the first time that I was like, oh, I'm actually gonna like be myself or write something that's very, very specific to me. You know, like, even though like other things I've written were very personal, like emotionally or relationship.
But you were thinking about a lot of other,
right? But I was still trying to be like this general,
yeah,
person. But like with Yappy, I was like, you know, I'm going to be, and maybe it's seeing like, you know, shows like Insecure or Master of None and, you know, Ali Wong or whatever. I'm like, oh, when we allow ourselves to like accept that we are something of value.
Yeah.
It changes like the game. And like, it's just so, like you said, it's very rare to be taught that as a minority.
Yeah.
Whereas if you like, and I don't want to be like white bashing or whatever, but like a lot of, I feel like in white America, Western culture, from the very beginning, it's like, no, Johnny, you're special.
Yeah, you're encouraged to do
that.
Yeah,
like you're gonna go places. You go out there and tell your story.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
No one ever told me that as a kid, you know?
Yeah, like, I never had that encouragement. Right. And if anything, it was like, this is what my mom would say. She goes, I'm gonna bash you first before anyone else gets a chance to bash you. So she'll be like, my kid is lazy, my kid is dumb, my kid's whatever. Because she's like, well, no one else, like, they can't say that about you anymore because I just said that. And I'm like, but what about the good stuff, Mom?
Yeah.
My mom said that stuff too.
And what's sad is that I actually think if it comes from like, you know, our parents and, you know, just generationally, they actually have some of the craziest stories.
Yeah.
You know, like, and one thing that actually drives me a lot these days is I think about, so you look at like let's say like white American culture, like there's films and stories and books for like every era of American history, right? Like you, or even like more recently, like you got Saturday Night Fever for the 70s, you got, you know, John Hughes movies and 16 Candles for the 80s. Like if you're person, you can see like a bunch of these, like a chronology of like your culture.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of, I mean, just to make it specific about Asian Americans, like I kind of,
you guys
like,
have yellow peril.
Yeah. Like, yeah, that's it. And like, I think about like, you know, our parents coming over and I'm like, man, like unless it's us telling that story, that their entire struggle of that generation coming over is going to be erased.
You never watched Romeo Must Die?
Yeah, that's exactly that was my experience. Like, and you know what? I did. And that's like the only one we got.
Yeah.
But like,
even though it was for 30 seconds, you see an Asian guy floating on a basketball.
Honestly, like that's such a powerful
story. It is, though.
And that's a very real story. And you think about like, you know, the boat people coming from Vietnam. You think about, you know, my parents, they moved and they went to school in the Midwest as like the only Asian kids, you know, like in Minnesota. Like, so like,
oh, mine just crossed the border.
But even that, like, it's like, it's just crazy to me to think like when that clicked, I was like, oh my gosh. Because it's not going to be our parents making their own movies about themselves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We have to make it about
them.
And they don't find it.
That's the thing. I'm like, Mom, you guys fled like a cultural revolution.
Yeah, she's like, shut up. Yeah. What are you talking about?
And I'm like, I just, you know, went to college, you know, and like, and I didn't know what I wanted to do.
And you still couldn't get straight A's.
So that's definitely like a thing that has driven
that's
me.
That's beautiful.
Terms of like, you know, sharing our voices and stuff. Because it's not, no one's going to do it for us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we're new to this. We're relatively new to this country too. So we have some time to pick that up. But I hope, you know, there's not just me, but like other, you know, directors, filmmakers, writers, they see the value in telling those stories. And you do see more of it coming out.
So yeah. Were you going to ask Bart if he kind of felt that too?
Yeah. I was going to say, like, I mean, what empowered you to, I'm assuming it was like your time in the military, but like what empowered you to feel like, you know, you had a personality, a voice or whatnot?
Actually, I never really thought I had a personality or a voice. Like, I didn't have like an aha moment. Mm-hmm. I think, growing up, watching like like TV and stuff, I did feel like a lack of representation.
Yeah.
Like the only person that I could really see was like either Bobby Lee or did you watch The Vanishing Sun with Russell Wong?
I mean,
it's a short lived thing.
I know Russell Wong just because of Romeo Must Die.
It's a very short lived thing. And even him, it wasn't like, it wasn't extremely relatable, but I'm like, oh, of course, another Asian guy.
Yeah. Dude, Rush Hour like changed my life like that in high school. I was like so happy, even though that's like an import technically like with Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh my God, Asian lead with like, you know, in like a mainstream movie. Like that was cool.
Yeah. And I really liked it too, just because, I was a fan of Jackie Chan, so to see him cross over so my friends could finally watch something that I enjoyed, I thought that was cool.
That was our BTS moment, you know, our Crazy Rich Asians, funny. Right?
Yeah. So I think when we first started doing it, it wasn't even, like, we didn't have, like, this goal we're trying to achieve. It was just me and Joe making videos, trying to make each other laugh. And then...
Nosy-ass people were like in the comments.
Yeah, so it was, I think it started off personal, but even when we started getting views and comments, it blew my mind.
Yeah.
Cause I'm like, wait, don't people fuck around anyways?
Yeah.
And then so as we got older and older, I think when JK Films evolved to JK News, one of my favorite comments to see is like, oh, my friends are just like you guys. Yeah, it's just we have cameras on. Because I think there's always like a group circle dynamic that people always have a good time in.
Yeah.
And I think, though, what separates me, or I guess what makes me quote unquote special from other people now, is I don't think that I'm special. Mm-hmm. I just think that my ability to take something traumatizing or painful and be able to make it funny and relatable is like I guess a new skill that I learned, and I actually learned that through stand-up comedy. So I think for me, like, there's two main bucket list things that I still want to accomplish, or maybe a couple in entertainment. So one we're working on, which is like a film or series, so I want to get long form content out there. The second one, I do want to eventually work on a 1 hour stand-up special, because when I did stand-up for a little bit, like, what I really loved about it is you don't have any co-writers really.
Yeah.
You don't have, you're not limited by budget. You're not limited by production. Yeah, your story is 100% yours.
It's very pure.
Yeah. And the more personal you go, the more relatable ends up being. Because people can, they can, like, if you talk about a story, you have to climb a fence from China to Vietnam, people, they can put themselves in your shoes and think about, oh, when I have to like hop the fence at school or something like that.
Yeah.
That's all.
Very similar.
Have you heard his stand-up sets? Have you tested his jokes?
He went to every
one of my shows.
Yeah, and I would laugh at every one. I was like the loudest laughter there.
That's a good fan.
I can actually relate to you more than what he's saying, because I just had that moment this year with Hey Bitch.
Because
growing up, same exact thing. Like, I was never special. I'm even the middle child, so even more so never special.
I have a nephew that's a middle child right now, and I can already see the middle child syndrome forming.
It's real.
Yeah.
It's a legit thing.
Yeah.
So then, you know, working with them, meeting people like you, I was always like, cool, I want to support these people that have so much to say, because I believe in their why, and I want to be a part of this because it's inspirational. And through all that, I'm like, oh shit, that's actually pretty tight. But as the older I got, I was like, oh shit, there's a lot of people out there and girls out there that just didn't have the big sister or are also kind of going through these trials and tribulations. And I'm like, well, not to say I'm special, but
you are
like,
special, Gio.
Thank you. Yeah. I am a snowflake. But just to be like, okay, well, let me be the big sister to these people, you know, and share my, you know, my thoughts and 2 cents and my experiences. And hopefully that can help guide them, you know, because I didn't have any guidance.
Yeah. And I think that's crazy that you said it was only recently with Hey Bitch. Cause like you were already, you've been in the public eye for so long. You've already had so many followers for so long. And it took even this long for you to finally accept who you actually were.
Because like, I've been in fitness, I've done comedy, like I've done so many different things, but I would never say like, I'm good at that. Like that's my space. Listen to what I have to say.
Right.
Even though like I was pretty decent in fitness and I'm like decently funny, I guess. I would never call myself a comedian, but I'm never going to be like, this is how you do it. Or I'm going to teach you how to do YouTube. Like that's just not in me.
Yeah, I think that just part of it just comes with like age, you know, and just realizing, oh, like,
so I'm also 40.
Yeah.
Almost 40.
Like old mom. Like and you look back at what you've done, you're like, oh wait, I guess I actually kind of did know what I was doing. And you kind of look to your left and your right and you're like, oh yeah, there's no one really like me.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what happened. Like, it's like a race, and you realize, I've been running for so long, just focused on myself and like, you know, just trying to get, and then you realize, oh, I'm actually there's no one around me.
Yeah. And you see everyone else doing their own races and you're like, exactly. Oh, well, I'm not them either.
Right. You thought that you were racing against each other and you just realized that everyone's just running around like crazy, trying to figure something out in their lives. You're like, what's going on? Oh, I'm just by myself. Fuck. Okay.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. It's been enlightening
That's great.
I don't know if it's a 30s thing.
It might be. Well, see, it might be us getting closer to death.
I'm not dying anytime soon.
But like, I think I try to encourage, you know, younger people. Cause like, if you say it's like 30, like, cause I was just even thinking, I do try to give this advice to younger people. And I say, hey, the sooner you can know yourself or know your worth.
That's hard. How do you teach that?
It's hard, but maybe that's actually like how you get people, you know, like these truly successful comedians or actors or directors, because like they were, even if it was like, you know, not earned, like there was just like blind confidence, but maybe that's what it takes to like get ahead. You know,
you know what I say?
You know,
because for me, I'm 35, about to be 36. And I still don't know who I am. Like, I feel like every few years I'm changing, even every month I'm like, oh shit, I used to think that way. And I just had this epiphany. Now I'm completely.
Yeah.
So what I say is I like with younger people, I just say, do a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
Don't worry about the timeline, because everyone's like, I got to go to school. I got to graduate. Oh, I just got to focus on this and I got to get my degree so I can go and get a good job. And it's like, nah, it doesn't really work like that. But I just say, do a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
Make a bunch of mistakes. Fail a shit ton of times. Because right now is like in your 20s is when you should be failing. You have nothing to lose.
Right, right. Do you guys watch Gary Vee?
I love him.
Like, I don't follow him, but like every so often, like something comes my way.
Why would you have against him? What do you have against him?
I have nothing against him. I think he's cool.
He's trying to pull the tea out.
No. Like, but I think he said one thing that I thought was really funny. Like, I definitely agree with this. Like, in your 20s, it's like this is the only time where it's acceptable for you to have like 5 roommates, eat like 50-cent tacos, you know, as like all your meals, you know, like that's the time when you should be doing that so that it allows you to like go chase everything and be super hungry. Right. So I totally agree with that. And I think, but like you said, like, you know, sometimes like it's circumstance, some people aren't allowed to do that or aren't able to do that.
Why aren't they allowed to do that?
Well, sometimes like, you know, there's familial responsibilities, financial responsibilities.
I mean, they get over it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I think
that's why I'm saying your 20s is your prime to do a bunch of shit, right? Yeah, like,
that's true.
I'm not saying go be reckless. I'm not saying go and like make it rain when you only have like $100 in your thing. Yeah. Like, obviously be responsible, be, you know, acknowledge that there's other people in your life that might potentially get hurt. So I'm not saying break any laws or whatever, but if it comes to something where it's like, I want to move out because I want to enrich my life, but your parents are like, no, that tradition, blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, parents, you will get over it.
Right, right. That's true.
You know, shit like that. Like, but if it comes to something like your mom's on her deathbed and you're like, no, dude, I gotta go to Hollywood. Yeah, it's like, well, I get it. You know,
you should go against all of your fears.
Yes.
If they're not responsibilities.
Yeah. Right.
But if it's just a fear, like, oh, what if my mom thinks about this?
Who cares?
What about this guy thinks about this?
I could never get tattoos and I have a bunch of tattoos.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If they're just fears, I think we should go against them in your 20s.
Yeah. It's, I was going to say,
you should kiss guys in public if you want to kiss guys in public.
It's like,
that's an inside joke.
I'll keep that in mind. I'll keep that in mind, Helen. But like, I think even having this mentality, you got to acknowledge too, like, it is a privilege for us to like even feel this way. Like, our parents weren't allowed to like be so reckless or like chase these things
were
they?
That's why they came
here. That's why they came here.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because if they weren't reckless, they'd be in their situation.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they don't acknowledge it that way because they're like, I had no other choice. But it's like, you always have a choice.
Yeah. Our parents were such millennials.
Yes. to their parents, they're millennials.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're like, so, stay here. What are you doing?
My dad had 6 brothers and sisters.
Yeah. And they're all still.
Well, 2 of them. Yeah. Made the move to Hong Kong and then come here.
Yeah.
The other 5, they stuck with the rules and just stayed in China.
Oh.
So I guess
they're fine.
Those 2 are like the rock stars.
Yeah. Do you have family that's still?
No.
Okay. So
no,
they all came over?
Here.
Okay,
cool. I mean, that we're close to.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think like, you know, I always, you know, tell people like similar to what you're saying, like you should take your time, but also don't waste your time. Like there's a difference between the two.
Yeah.
But those 2 things can coexist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm the opposite of you.
Really?
I don't say take your time.
No. What I mean, like, take your time is like, that's what I mean. It's not waste your time. Take your time means like, don't feel like if you didn't do something right, it was a waste. Like, you should be trying all these things.
Yeah.
Right? I think a lot of times people feel like they're
like, don't rush into it.
They think that they're going to fail before they even start.
Yeah.
And so they don't even start.
Yeah.
Right. So like, they're like, oh, if I don't get, like, even with like a lot of YouTubers, like, or like people that want to do media, like, oh man, like if I don't get a million views, but in the first year, I don't even want to do this.
Oh God.
I'm like, well, why?
Just don't even do it.
Don't even do it. Yeah. Like if that's going to be your only motive, then definitely don't do it. But like, also know that it takes time to get to that level.
Yeah.
Right. So, unless you make amazing slime, then you'll get there.
You don't got to worry about
drama. Yeah.
Or you start drama, but like, that's what I mean, you know? Yeah.
Damn. But this is a beautiful segment to know. This is, I think, one of our longest podcasts.
I'm sorry.
Why? I was going to say that's beautiful. This is a good thing. It was such a positive message.
Wholesome.
What are you talking? We say a lot. We have a lot of fucking wholesome shit out there.
There's going to be jokes about like Wong Fu being so wholesome and so like, you know,
does
soft.
That bother you?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, okay.
It totally doesn't.
Yeah, it does.
It sounds like a little bit.
No. It bothers. You know why it bothers me sometimes?
Oh, so it does bother you.
Sorry. It bothers me in that people don't value the importance of being soft sometimes.
Yeah.
And that they
see it as a bad thing.
That they see it as a bad thing, that they see emotions or that they see love as very like one color. So even when they say like, oh, Wong Fu, like it's just all love. First of all, like we have way more comedic stuff than love stuff. But like, when they think that love and relationships is just one thing, when they don't realize actually how many different ways there's to like dissect it and stuff, like I kind of feel bad for them.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, like you only think relationships are just this, you know, like, or you think that, you know, showing sadness or showing uncertainty or fear like is weak, you know?
I see that changing now a little bit.
What?
Where people, I think it's the millennials, and I got to give them props, is they're so attuned to their emotions.
Dude.
They love it.
Barbell Brigade should have like, you know, some like, you know,
Kleenex boxes?
Yeah, some sessions, you know, where you guys talk about your feelings. That would be very powerful.
We do a lot.
Yeah, we do it all the time.
All the time.
No, like.
You
like,
don't watch our stuff.
Oh my God, that sucks, Phil. I thought you were my friend. Damn.
Dominate humbly. That's right.
No, but yeah, I love that you did embrace that, and I guess you guys have been hearing it for years because you have your whole nice guys line.
That's something. Yeah, I think like it's never fun to be like just categorized as one thing, and then also for people to say like, oh, like, and that one thing is like, you know, not good or whatever. But I don't let it affect our decisions whatsoever.
Yeah,
like, I know who we are and everything, and I'm glad that there are other channels that are different from us.
Absolutely.
So like, we joke about this a lot, like the whole like JK beef, like first of all, that was never there.
Yeah.
But like, I think we just played into it because, oh yeah, the fans think that your guys' channel is so different from ours. But the point is that Asians are different.
They're different, yeah.
Yeah, and like, and the thing is like, we can coexist and we can be friends. I can see the value of your guys' content the same way that you guys can see ours, and we motivate each other.
Yeah. Even me and Joe are different.
Yeah.
We're in the same company.
No, like
his Instagram content is way different from mine. His vlog channel is way different from mine.
Well, his is different from all human beings, though.
Yeah. No, but even like when we were just in Toronto, you're saying like, oh my God, no, we're using Wong Fu as a model for JK. I'm like, what are you talking about? We're using JK as a model for Wong Fu. So it's like the blind leading the blind.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. The back end stuff.
It's like, oh shit. Yeah.
You guys are funny.
That was funny.
Yeah. Great, yeah.
But yes, thank you so much
for
being on here. This was such a dope conversation that we had. Definitely check out a bunch of Phil's stuff on Wong Fu Productions. Wong Fu. Go to Bopo Mofo.
Very good.
Right?
Bopo Mofo. You haven't been there yet. Whatever. It's okay.
No.
It's right.
How many times did you go to Barbell? That you were shooting.
I can't afford to go to Barbell. I was
It would be free if
when
you went.
When you told me, like, if I wanted a drink or if I wanted coffee, I'm like, no, water's fine. And a one day pass to Barbell would be enough. Like,
you text me that? I didn't see that.
No, I was gonna say that, but I was afraid to ask for the day pass.
You can go in for free anytime.
Yeah, you just walk
dude,
in.
I would
dude.
Be
Hello.
Wasting space there. People would like.
You're calling our gym small, dude?
No, as in the people there where it's like need all the equipment, and they'd be like, get off the machine, and
yeah,
I'd be like,
right.
Yes, sir, ma'am. Yeah.
No, you're tripping.
Dude,
but
I would love to go there. Like, actually, Helen is like super into fitness too, so
yeah, she's pretty ripped.
Yeah, we've been trying to like, you know, or I've been trying to get in better shape, and especially after the basketball game, like taking a couple screens and trying to box this guy out.
Dude, he's a wall.
I think this bruise is just from like touching you. I honestly, like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he's a wall, dude.
Yeah.
There's, you know, our gym's probably 10 or 15 minutes away from your house.
Oh man, all right, I got it. All right, it's gonna happen. I'm gonna go there.
Okay, we're gonna film it.
Yeah, training session.
Yeah,
I think you should train us and just totally destroy me. Like it'd be.
I haven't gone in there to really like strictly train in like over a year.
She's probably still stronger than you though.
Yeah, probably. that's legit, and that's I'm okay to admit that. You know, like that's you gotta have a base, you know, yeah. to come up from. But yeah. Come check out Bobo Mofo. I'll go to Barbell. I gotta go to Sip. I would love to go to a housewarming.
Oh, we don't have
that
yet.
We haven't even had one yet.
Dude, you know what's funny? Right now, they're barely installing our blinds. Okay. We had trash bags for blinds for the past month.
JK's roughing it out right now. Yeah. Guys, hey, go buy a t-shirt. Yeah, their mansion has trash bags for it. Go buy a t-shirt. All right, guys. Go renew your subscription to Barbell.
All right, on that note, thank you so much, Phil.
Thank you.
Stay tuned for our sponsors.
Yes, more sponsors. Yeah, watch the sponsors.
All right, thank you guys so much for watching, and thank you to our sponsors, Third Love and Skillshare. Go to thirdlove.com/BEAW. That's BEAW for 15% off your first purchase. And go to skillshare.com/BEAW. Again, that's BEAW. Skillshare.com/BEAW for 2 months free. Thank you guys. See you guys next time.
Bye.